You are listening to Free Radio Olympia. This program is a production of Dancing Angel Media, which is solely responsible for the content. If this program makes your head explode or causes emotional distress, or if you suddenly feel as if life suddenly isn't worth living anymore due to the things you learn on this program, then you should blame yourself for the fact that you're such a wimp that you let the world push you around in such a manner, rather than blaming the producers of some radio show, much less blaming the radio station that is airing the show. And you should maybe soon become a Zen master and or a used car salesman and or an astronaut or whatever, rather than trying to educate yourself about things that are simply going to twist your worldview into a pretzel, making your continued existence on this plane problematic. If you have useful suggestions, or if you wish to participate in a meaningful debate, then bring it on. But otherwise, if you aren't going to help, then please just shut up and get out of our way, so that we can do what needs to be done. Have a nice day.
It is time for the Thunderbolt. And at the Thunderbolt, we believe in just saying no to boring public affairs programming.
The Thunderbolt. Faster than a speeding bullet point. More powerful than multi-gigabyte bandwidth. Able to leap mixed metaphors in a single bound. Defending truth, justice, and the un-American way. Boldly going where no hack radio show has ever gone before. The Thunderbolt airs every Saturday at noon right here on Free Radio Olympia. Listen at your own risk.
We're doing a lot of things that are very good, including waste and fraud. Tremendous waste and tremendous fraud.
What would you do with a brain if you had one?
All right. Scary to think. This is the Thunderbolt for April 23rd, 2021. I have a replay this week that originally aired on June 7th of 2019 that I think you are going to enjoy.
Sure looks like it's going to rain. That's what I was saying out loud. But inside, my mind was working too fast. Or so it seemed. Nothing's accomplished by this. Nothing that makes sense. Let me tell you about my mind. It seems to turn in circles that get tighter and tighter as my thoughts swing upward and inward, as I reach into what might as well be upward as downward, as I think in endless chain reactions that tighten up tighter and tighter until I want to... But I mustn't do that. Loosen up. Take it easy.
Ha. Fat chance. I have been warning you for years that the machine wants to completely eliminate all personal privacy. I've been warning you for years that their smart grid and their smart appliances are all part of this evil plot. And my contention has since been confirmed by such experts as the ex-head of the CIA, David Petraeus, and by the ex-head of the NSA, James Clapper. Well, if I may indulge a little toilet humor, this shite is truly getting deep.
Just relax. Have to appear calm. Even though I know it's a lie, I'm not calm. Not inside. I'm a nervous wreck inside. Sure, you think I'm calm. Outwardly, I appear so. But you should see the inside of me. Here. Come on in.
Yes, kids. The machine has finally reached the final frontier in the realm of personal privacy. They are attempting to monitor that most personal of all personal acts. Yes, say hello to the future. Say hello to the smart toilet. Yes, kids. Now, they literally want to spy on your shite. Smart toilets are being promoted as a method of protecting your health. Gee, do I smell Intutel operating in the bowl of my toilet? How appropriate. According to that infamous state security collaborator, Bill Gates, I feel like the bathroom is a very untapped area. Indeed, a wasted opportunity to profit from waste. And that's not all. Alexa will be right there with you. Yes, she will be monitoring you as you conduct your morning ablution. How comforting is that? Yes, Alexa's smart sensors will closely analyze the results of your efforts. And you know that you can always count on Alexa's chirpy, happy voice to let you know if there are any problems. So, geez, this leads me to ask that existential question. How did humanity ever survive for all these millennia without talking toilets? And that's not all, for I am most happy to be able to announce that you ladies can even purchase a smart bidet from Home Depot. Now, I do not know whether Alexa will be living inside your bidet or not, but I do know that your smart bidet is sensitive to those delicate female posterior regions as it comes complete with an electrically heated seat. And so, everyone needs to get together and gather together all of your shite, so that the NSA can analyze it for you. Yes, kids, your toilet may turn out to be the final frontier in mass surveillance.
At first, it doesn't make any sense, which is perfectly all right. What bothers me is when it does make sense. Like behind this door.
When you start talking about a multi-decades-long plot to completely dominate the federal judiciary of the United States,
a river of people,
especially if you insist that this conspiracy has largely succeeded,
a river of people's things,
many people are likely to start asking you where you store your tinfoil hat. Well, I am here to tell you that there has been a multi-decades-long plot to take over the federal judiciary that has largely succeeded. And I don't own a tinfoil hat. But now that I think about it, has anyone ever empirically proven that tinfoil hats do not work? Haha. Anyway, I have extensively thunderbolted the Federalist Society in past issues, and I provided links to all relevant documentation demonstrating that ever since Ronald Reagan, every single nominee to the federal courts that has been nominated by a Republican president has been a member in good standing of the Federalist Society, which is sort of the uber right-wing, uber old boys club of the legal world. In addition, I have very convincingly demonstrated that the Federalist Society very exclusively and very effectively represents the interests of the plutocrats. The Rump's new Supreme Court nominee is not only no exception to this rule, but in addition, the Rump's new Supreme Court nominee is a purely classical example of pure evil wrapped in a very pleasing package. Why, he's so nice. He's so smart. He's so charming. He's so handsome. Neil Gorsuch is a master at very pleasantly and very convincingly saying all of the right things and then doing all the wrong things. As a Federalist Society shill, Mr. Gorsuch is, of course, a wholly owned subsidiary of big money interests, and his rather lengthy voting record invariably sides with big money and against screwed citizen. In a couple of cases, rather outrageously so. And in many cases, Mr. Gorsuch was in dissent with nearly every other judge that ruled upon the given subject, meaning he is an outlier, which is maybe not such a good thing in a judge. And not only that, but it turned out that the plutocrats pulled out all stops to infect their deadly, if very pleasant, bacillus upon our federal judiciary as quickly as was humanly possible. I am now thinking, in fact, that this may be one of the central reasons why the machine chose the Rump over Mrs. Clinton. Yes, they are salivating over the thought of their reactionary majority back on the Supreme Court, which would have been far less likely under Merrick Garland, who, if he shares any attributes with his namesake Judy Garland, might have dropped a house on their heads or something, after all. Or maybe he could have provided them with brains, hearts, and courage. But alas, now we will never know. I suspect that the machine so desperately wants their majority back on the Supreme Court so that the court will provide a legal pretext for all of the outrageously unconstitutional crap that they are about to lay upon us.
One day, The lion met a zebra. The lion said, "Who's the king of the space jungle?" And the zebra said,
"You are master."
And the lion was happy.
And by the way, there are also 24 vacancies on the federal appeals courts and over 100 lower court federal judgeships available at the moment. And the Rump has come right out and said that he is going to depend upon the Federalist Society to fill all of those slots now. This is a disaster beyond comprehension. This means that the fascists have the federal courts locked, stock, and barrel for the next generation. The Federalist Society is also putting a lot of energy into electing state attorneys general, because then they can file suits against federal regulations. Suits that will now likely be heard by Federalist Society judges. In addition, the Democrats cannot filibuster the Rump's nominees because the Republicans keep threatening to eliminate the filibuster if they do. What this means, of course, is that the Republicans can use the filibuster and the Democrats cannot, which is actually a perfect arrangement for the Democrats, because this way they can continue fooling people into believing that the Democrats are standing up for them, and that the Democrats can make a lot of empty noise about the outrageous screwing that the American public is currently enduring. And the outrageous screwing that the American public is about to endure will simultaneously, the Democrats are negotiating in some back room, selling their soul to the devil and selling us down the river. The problem for them is that they are not fooling all that many people anymore. At least with the Republicans, what you see is usually more or less what you get. As reprehensible as that may be, I've been listening to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. for my entire adult life, yet I just caught the significance of something that he said whilst I was just listening to him yet once again. That thing being, when I heard Dr. King point out that racism, militarism, and extreme materialism all support each other, and that they all reinforce each other, and the important part, that no single one of those three things could exist without all three of those things existing. Yeah. What I've been saying for years. I knew that Dr. King had started making connections between the Vietnam War and racism, but I did not know that Dr. King was pointing out that they were both inextricably intertwined with capitalism over 50 years ago. So tell me, Why do we need to keep learning this shite over and over? Well, first of all, everyone needs to understand that fact, partly because that fact means that if we can eliminate even a single leg of that three-legged stool, then the entire stool will collapse of its own weight. Yippee! Once everyone understands that all of our issues are basically the same issue, then we can all focus our energy on a single aspect of their structure and trust the rest of that structure to collapse once we have eliminated one of its necessary components. And in considering which leg of that three-legged stool upon which we should start sawing, it seems to me that social justice in general, and racism in particular, would probably be the most vulnerable part of that tripartite structure. Taking on the multi-trillion dollar war machine head on seems to be pointless, especially since they completely control the media, the economy, the schools, and super especially since they have the super majority support of both of our political parties. And as for extreme greed, well, that seems to be hardwired into a minority of our species. Now, I don't know if extreme greed is genetic or acquired or psychological or what, but as of now, it would seem that given the opportunity, this type of person will always and invariably take whatever advantage of whatever situation they think they can get away with, and the community at large can be damned. Overall, I consider extreme greed to be a disease, and I wish someone would do a lot more study on extreme greed to try to understand it more. But as of now, I would consider dealing with extreme greed to be a discussion for another time. Racism, though, has been steadily eroding for decades now, and racism has finally become almost totally uncool in most social circles. And that is a new development, believe it or not. When I was a child, everyone was a racist to one extent or another. It wasn't even questioned, except by us kids. And at that time, we were considered to be off the charts radicals for having such views. Yes, indeed. I was an anti-racist before being an anti-racist was cool. Anyway, if my theory is correct, then anti-racism and anti-oppression work would probably be the most strategic target at which to aim our efforts. I am convinced that once racial and social justice issues take center stage in our national narrative, then I think it is very likely that militarism and extreme greed will then simply wither on the branch due to a lack of any popular support.
Hear that? There's a rhythm. There's a rhythm that you can count. Which makes sense. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. And this makes me think of somebody who invented numbers, which also makes sense. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. Wonder if he had much trouble inventing those numbers. Wonder if he had trouble with zero. Pretty hard to imagine nothing. Nothing. No thing. No me. No you. No world. Nothing. Which doesn't make sense. Which frightens me. I can't stand things that frighten me. That don't make any sense.
Consider this as you assess the various threats facing humanity. Keep in mind that other than a very thin and fragile little strip of air extending from the surface of the Earth to a point about 3 miles over our heads, pretty much everything else from that point outward, all the way to the very edge of the entire universe itself, virtually all of that is utterly deadly to all forms of life. I think we really should start protecting our little tiny thin strip of air. We're going to take a quick station break. The Thunderbolt will be back in just a minute. The views expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect the views of anyone else associated with this radio station.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we.
Ah! You cursed rat! Look what you've done! I'm melting! Melting! Oh, what a world! What a world!
You will respect my authority!
And meanwhile, even as MSDNC has been distracting everyone for the last 2+ years by having them running around chasing after Russian chimeras, the Rumps people have simultaneously been running around busy as bees, dismantling our whole frigging world. And no one was paying any attention because they were chasing after Russian ghosts. And even as the American war machine continues to use its heavy metal teeth to grind up ever more countries, the Rumps people have been gutting our public institutions and agencies at home in order to pay for all of that, as well as to pay for the security state infrastructure that they are using to deter refugees from trying to enter our country, even though their desperate plight is 100% the fault of American foreign policy, or failing that, they seek to assure that even if the refugees do make it into the United States, then there will be absolutely nothing here for them. And it is also important to keep in mind that whenever the Rump guts some federal agency and lays off all of the employees, we don't just lose those employees, but we also lose all of their work. We lose their history. We lose their perspectives. And we lose their context. And you can't just replace all those things later after the rump has gone. The Health and Human Services Administrator recently said that he is going to divert $385 million from various healthcare programs to pay for detention centers. And he diverted over $400 billion last year from the same programs for the same purpose. They are gutting the funding for our true emergencies in order to pay for their wholly manufactured fake emergencies. And as for the rump's budget proposal, fortunately, any given president's budget proposals do not often resemble the actual final product. So there is that. But in this case, that is a particularly good thing, because when it comes to anything that benefits anyone besides the rump's rich friends, then whatever that thing is, it is on the chopping block. Section 8 housing vouchers and other subsidized housing programs would take major hits along with Head Start and the Women, Infants, and Children's Program, as well as the Low Income Energy Assistance Program. The rump would take $207 billion cut out of the Student Loan Program. He would completely eliminate the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program, and he wants to cut all subsidized student loans. He wants to cut $220 billion from SNAP, which feeds mostly low-income children. And of course, he wants a $21 billion cut to TANF, which, as with EBT, is literally assistance to the poorest of the poor. And also, as with EBT, TANF is a program that serves mostly children. The rump wants to cut $885 billion from Medicare, and he wants to cut $1.5 trillion, with a T, from Medicaid. He also wants to establish work requirements for Medicaid recipients. Yes, thanks to the rump's tax cuts for rich people, there is no longer any money to pay for these programs. But don't worry. Even as you're shivering in your tent, wondering where your next meal is going to come from, at least you know you'll be safe from those marauding Central American mothers and their children. The rump wants a $7.1 billion funding cut to the Department of Education, including cutting all funding to after-school and summer programs for low-income youth. And when it comes to the environment, no worries there either. If the rump has anything to do with it, we're not going to be wasting any more federal dollars trying to save what is left of our planet. The EPA, of course, would receive a $2.8 billion cut. And there are numerous regional restoration funds that are being cut as well. For instance, federal funding for the Great Lakes Restoration Fund would be slashed by 90%, along with similar cuts to restoration efforts on the Chesapeake Bay. And the Rump's budget would completely eliminate federal funding for restoration efforts in the Gulf of Mexico, Lake Champlain, Long Island Sound, South Florida, San Francisco Bay, and yes, our glorious leader also wants to eliminate all federal funding for restoration efforts in the Puget Sound. Bada boom. In addition, even as frantic warnings of mass salmon extinctions are pouring in from numerous sources, the Rump wants to cut all federal funding for the Pacific Coastal Salmon Recovery Fund. And if you would like to add a little danger to your life by courting a little botulism now and then, the Department of Agriculture would also get a 15% cut. Meanwhile, of course, the rich continue getting richer, and the military gets more than they asked for. And we're going to be spending a cool $1 trillion on new nukes. Just what we needed. I'm so glad my country has its priorities so straight. We should give the Rump the benefit of the doubt, though. Putting thousands of children into cages is not cheap. And somebody's gotta pay for it, right? So, let's just try to elect Democrats. Yeah, that will fix everything. If we keep electing Democrats, we can just continue putting on our blinders and chasing after Russian ghosts and just continue ignoring all of that other disturbing stuff. As long as we don't talk about it, maybe it'll go away.
Come on, let's get out of my brain. Quick, quick through the door here. Now through this one. That's better.
Huh?
I said, sure looks like it's gonna rain.
Oh, I don't think so.
All right. Well, I don't know if it is going to rain or not, but I do know that that's it for the news and commentary section this week. So, we here in the Cascadia region of the country live in a charmed and enchanted land of mild weather, spectacular scenery, and really good buds. Things like systemic racism are sometimes not so obvious in our emerald wonderland, in spite of the fact that the ugly head of racism is just as prevalent in the Northwest as it is anywhere else. It's just not quite as noticeable. So here's an appropriate song for this time we're living in. This is David Robix. Enjoy.
Portland is a town that's in the news much of the time. There are a lot of vegans and there's very little crime. It's a nice, safe place to live. Folks ride bicycles a lot. The winters aren't so cold and the summers aren't so hot. They build houses out of cob. They hang out in the park, where you needn't worry about walking after dark. There are lots of homeless people, but they don't hurt no one. Just be careful of the boys in blue playing with their guns. Yeah, watch out for the cops. 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 You can hang out with the punks with the piercings and tattoos. You can eat out at a food truck, any neighborhood you choose. You can dance to Balkan music while you drink a microbrew, chilling in a gay bar with the mayor and his crew. But be careful what you do, be prepared to get some flack, especially for those who may be male, young, and black. The fact is you do better in Sweet Home Alabama. You're safer there on the old streets of Birmingham. Yeah, watch out for the cops. 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 There are flowers everywhere, but for others they've got prisons with some nice electric chairs. You can go downtown, ride the buses there for free, but you never know when you'll get a DWP. A town full of progressives, but such a rotten bunch of cops. Who knows who'll get shot at the next routine traffic stop? When you live in a place like Portland, where they tend to act this way, you can just join the police force instead of the KKK. Yeah, watch out for the cops. Watch out for the cops. Watch out for the cops. Watch out for the cops.
Call me back. I love to leave them hazy and ready for the trash can. Attitude! Cops with attitude! Where's the gratitude for cops with attitude? We're always on the lookout for bunnies and beaners. If we don't like your looks, we'll take you to the cleaners. Rearrange your face, make your brain go out of space. Put your backbone back in a different place. We don't have to be tough, cause you're already wearing handcuffs. But too much is never enough. Make your brain vibrate, make your eyes go glassy. Soften your skull, re-chisel your chassis. We protect and we serve
in a different way.
Kick you in the nape. If you want to check us out, just rent a tape. Attitude. Cops with attitude. Hey, hey, where's the gratitude for cops with attitude? Attitude. Cops with attitude. Attitude. Cops with attitude.
Down and out, 'cause it's true.
good man, he lives in his car. 'Cause a run of bad luck went and pushed him too far. And the woman who lives in a box at the back, when she started out, did her dreams include that? So spare a little thought for the down and out, 'cause it's true. If the tables were turned and the deal was different, it might be you. So leave them on the streets if their families don't care. We've got crow's feet to fill, we've got no cash to spare. The food lines are endless, the shelters are full, and such are the things they don't teach you in school.
Coaster ride there, eh? That was Judith Owen with Somebody's Child. Before that, we had I'm a Better Anarchist Than You from David Robix, preceded by Cops with Attitude from Harry Shearer, and we started off that set with Watch Out for the Cops from David Robix. And that's it for the regular part of the show. Please consider making a donation to your community radio station, because we need them now more than ever. So please keep in mind that the views expressed on the Thunderbolt are those of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station or anyone associated with this radio station. The Thunderbolt website is dana98501.wordpress.com. 98501 is the downtown Olympia zip code, if that helps you remember that. And you can contribute to the Thunderbolt cause at patreon.com/thethunderbolt. Glad you joined us this week. We hope to see you next week. And in the meanwhile...
Thank you very much.